Ready for the word this morning? Ready for the word this morning? Hold someone to listen together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this morning we receive the privilege of fellowship, revelation that is found in your Son Jesus. There's no error in this atmosphere. There's no confusion in this atmosphere. There's no single thread of contradiction in this atmosphere. We receive precision in the revelation of your Son. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18 to 20. As our custom is at this time of the year, we emphasize the importance of the local church and your conduct and what is your responsibility. Coming with our rights and privileges in Christ is our responsibilities in Christ and through Christ. And so you must realize that as we learn the word of God in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, Jesus says, the Bible says he came unto them spoke saying, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. And it says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The word teach all nations there is where you have make disciples. Matheteuo in the Greek. Make disciples. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Make disciples. In other words, that's an important element of the work of the ministry, is to make disciples. And thank God for members. Thank God for those who are members, those who come into a church and love the church and attend the church. But you see, the call of God upon the church is to make disciples, to make students. It's not to have people who attend and then they are being entertained. And some folks are set up for that, to be entertained. No, it's to make disciples. It's similar to a school where you enlist to learn by precept and by example. So in other words, the gospel is like a course curriculum. The gospel of Christ is like a course curriculum. It's like a course of study that you embark upon in a school. You know, I remember, years back where we were going to teach in a place, I think it was 2001 or 2000, and I was supposed to teach somewhere. And the guy said, what is your message? And I said, the gospel. He said, this is a church. We are all believers. The gospel is for those who are not believers. I said, you are wrong. The gospel is what we hear every day in the church. He said, no. The gospel is what you tell people so that they can give their lives to Christ. And he's the pastor of the church. Shouldn't I now preach the gospel, really? I should. He didn't know what the gospel is. The gospel is like a course curriculum that you begin to investigate. I like how Mark Hankins says it. He says you investigate the details every time. The details. So the gospel is a course curriculum that you learn of. You know. And in doing that, you become a student of the gospel. You become a student of the gospel. And so when Jesus is going to all the world, make disciples, is that word matheteuo. Train people. Hallelujah. You find that word used in three other places. Matthew 13:52, where he gave a parable of those who were instructed into the kingdom. Instructed into the kingdom. In other words, you are groomed into it. Groomed into it. So discipleship is a grooming, where you are groomed. You are groomed. Hallelujah. And that is the essence of our church services. Our church services is not where you come and then you say, oh God, oh my. I was very touched in that service. Some people are always touched. I was very touched. In fact, pastor had a word for me in that service. No, that's not how church services should be. It's not a word for you. It's you are being groomed. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's not nice. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes it's not cool. And so that's what we have. And you have also Matthew 27 verse 20, 67 and Acts 14, 21. So the fundamental way that is done is by teaching. By teaching. And the Greek word teaching, which you find in Matthew 28, 20, just the next verse, it says, teaching them. Didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Teaching them there is applied in schools, in the Greek language. In schools. In schools. So in other words, the church is a school. You know, I've told you before that the idea of Bible school is not found in the Bible at all. That's interesting. Bible school is not found in the Bible. Is that not interesting? Bible school is not found in the Bible. But that's just the truth. What is Bible school in the Bible are regular church services. Regular church services. Where you come and then you are schooled in the gospel. So let's get some things right. We said the gospel is a course curriculum. You know, you say, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus rose, Jesus came to the earth, he died for us, he forgave our sins, and you know, very simple. That is the, that's what you call subject matter. Oh, no, no. Call it title. Right? Jesus died, he rose again for our sins. Title. The third day, he rose again. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Those are his titles. You know, when you see a book title, you don't say, ah, maybe they showed you, Introduction to Atomic Energy. Wow! Woo! Glory! I have just been introduced to atomic energy. No. You just saw the title. You will now open the pages. Day by day. Sometimes, when you study, you drop the book for maybe a week. You pick it up again. You know, that's exactly what it means to be a student of the gospel. A pastor once told me this. He didn't say it directly to me. He told someone who told me. Who told me? He said, why are all your books so convoluted? He said, they are too... Can't you just write regular things? You guys said, like what? Making your dreams come true. I said, because I don't know how it happens. I don't know how that works. Having your best life now, I don't know how to teach it because I don't even know how to know it. He said, the books, that was even 2017. He said, hyper grace, understand this, word of faith. Can we have just a simple book? The guy said, but they wrote for this course. Even that one, too, just Bible. He's a pastor. Even when he wants to write romance. He just filled it with the Bible, Romans. That's how the gospel is. It's a course curriculum. You keep studying it and studying it and studying it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What about if we have this gospel study edition too? Amen. Did you hear what I said? You know when I say that, that's going to happen. So, discipleship is actually a practice. What I did this morning, when I asked those of you who were outside to get up, came in late, is part of discipleship. And I'm saying, look, you shouldn't come in late. That's discipleship. You don't say, Is it not church? Is it not church? Is the house of God? Oh, yes. Is the house of God? We are in a grace era. We are in a grace era. Somebody said, he said, Pastor Noyinka is actually a law preacher, masquerading as a grace preacher. I like that actually. See, he's a law preacher. He's too hard. I'm not hard. Really? Where were we? So discipleship is an art. It's something that you need to learn it. And I want you to see this. Beyond me teaching you, I want you to also understand it. So that in your own ministries, as you begin to disciple people, you understand what it is. A brother wrote me a letter last night. He's a pastor. And he said, I'm writing to you, I'm crying. I said, why? He said, I've been in the ministry for 12 years. He said, this is the 13th year. I have never led anyone to Christ. He said, and he mentioned the number of people in his church. He said, never led anyone. He said, what we do is to invite people to church. He said, I'm crying as I'm talking to you. In fact, I told him I'm going to chat him up this afternoon. He said, I see people, he's the actual pastor, so he said, I see people who are not born again. And they're in the church. And they're having a great time. Because we never preach the gospel to them. So sometimes it's good to understand these things, that you will not be that kind of example. Because in discipleship, it's like training up a child, training up a student. You know, bringing people up in the details of a course curriculum, a practice, or a trait. And so that's what Jesus is teaching here. He says, go and make disciples. Now, cool down. Let me show you something else. Discipleship is something you know by observation. In other words, when someone is a disciple, I told you, you know, in the book of Acts, you'll find that in Acts 2, 41 and 42, it says that as many that heard the word, gladly received the word, were baptized, okay, and they were added to the church, about 3,000 of them. They believed, they were added to the church. Then you read further, those who believed, Acts 4, 4, those who believed. Acts 2:47 as well, and I think Acts 4:32, those who believed. But by Acts 6, verse 1, they are now called disciples. Why were they not called disciples in Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5? Because you know disciples with time. Those who you observe are actually imbibing a practice, a doctrine, a lifestyle. And so in Acts 4 verse 13, where you find the word disciples used the most. Now, when you go to the epistles, you will see that word. You will see the word mantano. Mantano means to learn. We have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:21-22. We have not so learned Christ. Am I right? I think that's 20 actually. Let me check it for you so that I don't give you a wrong text. Ephesians 4. Verse 20. We have not so learned Christ. And that's the word mantano. It's where you have the word disciple. So it's not a prominent word in the epistles, because a disciple is an eyewitness, something you see, something you observe. You observe by practice, by instruction, and by learning. So in the book of Acts, they now saw that those believers have now become disciples. They have become disciples. People who were listening and making a practice of the things they were learning. So in Acts 4:13, for example, the Bible says that knowing that these men were unlearned, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Because Luke tells us, for example, please watch this, that Jesus had taught these folks for 40 days. Acts 1, 2, and 3. All that Jesus began to do and teach. He says, because in 40 days, he spoke and persuaded them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. He showed himself alive to them after many passions. And then he spoke concerning the kingdom of God for 40 days. 40. Imagine being in a meeting, a church meeting for 40 days. 40 days of teaching. So when he taught them that, Then Acts 1:14 now says, the disciples. Because you definitely now see that these folks are taught, or they have been taught. They continue one accord and supplication. That's Acts 1:14. So they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. Then 15. Those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Disciples who mean students. Students. So a Christian ought to be a student. Acts 2:42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Proskatero in the Greek. Steadfastly. They remain like that. And sometimes what we often do is we have people attend what we call foundation class. So they say 6 weeks to understand believers. Now we used to do that at some point. Then I stopped it. And I told you why. Those who are not around, I'll remind you what I said. I said then I discovered that really, why would you say people should attend a 4 weeks meeting and then just tell them they know the basis of Christianity? The basis of Christianity are the things we're going to keep learning years and years and years. So we just stopped that. We used to have it here before. And we stopped it. And I recall that in the earlier years, there was something we used to have then called the Sunday school. I know you know what Sunday school is. Sunday school. That is before the service. And usually there is this curriculum that is all year round. Then I think then you ask questions and things like that. But I think that has been replaced by first service, second service, third service. Well, ought not to be so. So I told myself, rather than have a Sunday school, they'll have celebration service, as they call it. Everything will be Sunday school. Because that's the practice of Christianity. Everything will be Sunday school. Alright? So, the truth is, there's nothing called Believer's Foundation Class. Where you just in 4 weeks, they'll say, you are a new creature. Oh, you are a brand new man. Oh, you have the Holy Ghost. Oh, you are God's son. Oh, be holy. Oh, don't miss the rapture. No, you're going to hear this every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every time we come together. They continued steadfastly. Acts 2:42. In the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. Acts 2:42. And so you see all of that. They are called disciples. Look at Acts 8. Acts 8. Now where there was persecution. Acts 8 verse 4. Now tells us that. Therefore they that were scattered abroad, minus except the apostles, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. That means he picked out Philip's story alone. Look at what I'm about to show you now. He says, they went everywhere preaching the word. Now you see a pattern there. The first thing is, they were taught. Then the consequent result of that is that they could now go places preaching the word. Now something significant there is, it was during persecution. Christians were being hauled to prison. Some were killed. What a time to run away. What a time would have been to just say, ah, hey, what kind of Christianity is this? Oh, ah, what kind of Christianity is this? Ah, you know, I was sharing this with someone earlier this morning. He gave a prophecy, and I told him, this prophecy is from the flesh. He said, the kingdom of God is going to take over. He said, we're going to rule and reign. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're going to take over government, commerce. He mentioned many things like that. And I said to him, you have imbibed the world in your prophecy. I said, when Jesus came, He became a king and a ruler, not like Caesar. Caesar ruled with a sword, with money and men. Jesus ruled by sacrifice. You want to drop the cross and go for Caesar's sword. Caesar's army. That's what you want to do. See, I don't understand. Julius Caesar died years ago. I said, how can you understand? Do you know why Jesus is called Lord? You don't know. You have to know. So he had imbibed a wrong thinking. And it came out in his prophecy. We are going to take over. He wants to be president of Nigeria. Or maybe somebody is in his church. That is not the kingdom of God. That can't be the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of men. And so these are things you learn. And in discipleship, I've told you, you drop what you used to think. Someone say, in Christianity, we must be... Now, allow those outside to come in, Jakes. In Christianity, we must be made to think. Think for ourselves. Yes, that is not in your Bible, though. You must think the word. Not think for yourself. You must... Christianity allows critical thinking. Christianity wants you to think. No. Christianity says, do not be conformed to this world. Romans 12 and 2. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. It says, do not think like the Gentiles think. We should question everything. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. That is humanity. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So what a time to run. They had persecution. What a time to escape. I said, what is this now? This is not the kind of, how can the Christianity, you know, you should, no, they went everywhere. And because they had learned from the apostles, they went everywhere preaching the word. I thought they would have gone to the United Nations with placards. Save us. Especially from Saul. Save us. Save us. Oh, they are not allowing freedom of religious expression. Can't say, what is it? This is discrimination against Christianity. We will take it. Then they will go to the House of Assembly or National Assembly. A bill seeking for allowing preaching in buses. A bill seeking for allowing churches to meet whenever they want to meet. That is the time Christians get stronger. Hallelujah. You know, I found out that persecution makes you pray a lot. How many of you know it? You know, Sabiam. Persecution makes you pray. You pray. I was telling Pastor Tokes, we're having this conversation. We say, anytime we don't have anything persecuting us, are we out of God's will? Something must be shaking you. Hallelujah. And then you are praying. And then you are praying. And you are sitting there, you are praying again. Exactly. That is Christianity. No, the government must intervene. How can they say we can't do evangelism? That's wrong. There must be freedom of expression. Oh, yes. So we fight the government. We now say, Association of Christian Activists, enforcing the kingdom of God in Nigeria. You have missed it. But they went for everywhere preaching. Hallelujah. And Philip went down to Samaria and he preached the word. You know, I tell you oftentimes, if you say you love Jesus, you know the song I want to sing? Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my life. And you are crying. Some people, what they really are afraid of is hell. That, yes, is hell. In my life. Or, in case God will just be angry with them. So their motivation is fear. They think God is just watching. Once in a while, he smile. All right. And then, so they cry more. And as they are crying, they are seeing God's face like, in my life. In my life, oh Lord. That's the motivation. Hallelujah. It was one camp meeting. And a girl walked up to me after we were at Faith Plaza. She said, Pastor, did you just say what you said now? So what did I say? That if we stop serving God, nothing bad will happen to us. I said, yes. He said, I thought you were joking. I said, I was not joking. That's the word of God. I said, but why now? Are you not allowing us? Are you not telling us not to serve God? I said, no. I'm telling you, don't serve him out of fear of torture. He said, nothing is going to happen to you. Those who are Christians or non-Christians, they live long, healthy. They have happy families. They have money. Even more than believers. At least those ones are serving the devil outrightly. Say, hey. Say, I've never heard this before in my life. Say, you've never heard the gospel. What do you think made people who ran because they arrested Jesus? They were not arresting the 12, just Jesus. They all ran away. Everybody changed their clothes. So, took off their wristband. Pooh! Which one is Christ the Lord? They took their phones. All the things on living world media, they just deleted it. They just put Beyonce. I can't say, but I saw your Quizzard Convention. Who is a believer? you preach the gospel to me? Me? Which gospel? Preach. No. I mean, I'm just a nice guy. I don't believe in all those things. They did not come for them. Oh, they came for Jesus and they ran. But when they knew the gospel, they ran towards persecution. They understood something. Were they afraid of God's wrath, as we say? No. They are falling in love with the one who loved them. They could bear in their marks, in their bodies, the very marks of Jesus. You know, I saw someone write that somewhere. He said, tell them in your office. Tell them in your... Say, let no man trouble me. I have in my body the marks of Christ. Brethren, no enemy can touch you. Then your brother said, Father, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I have in my body the marks of Christ. I said, you are all joking. Don't you know what Paul is talking about? Paul is talking about marks of persecution, what you are praying against. I have the marks of persecution. Not a mark of covenant that says, touch me not. It's actually touching. He said, if they had hated me, they will hate you. No servant is greater than his master. If I was abused, you'll be abused. If I was rejected, you'll be rejected. That's what Jesus said. Didn't you see it? He said, it's not my portion. It's not my portion in Jesus' name. Someone told me, say, Pastor, what I was preaching somewhere, and they were just abusing me and all that. In fact, it was so difficult, sir. You see, I have not prayed enough. I said, it's because you have prayed. He said, but the gospel is good news. When I say it, people just say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Can you be gooder than your Lord? Allow my English. I didn't say gooder. Oh. I said gooder. That's my dictionary. No. Hallelujah. I remember this story. It's in Tell the World. At number 146. Ikorodu, not Ikorodu Road. Before Ikorodu Garage. What's that road again? It used to be Ragolis. I went to do follow-up. And I was sharing. And then the woman came out. The mother of the person I was doing follow-up for. What are you here for? She said, I came to share the word of God. She said, okay. She used to grind pepper. So she took the residue. You know, when they grind pepper, not the ones you do in blender.
The real Pepe Grenga.
That still one. She took the residue. As I was doing my follow-up with my Bible. She just poured it on me. Whoa! I was still doing like this. She chased me. Woman, she threw it. So people around were looking at her, holy, holy. They didn't know what I had done. And I was taking my Bible like, you know what? I cleaned my face. I told her, let's meet somewhere else. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. Amen. That is what it's about. They crucified Jesus, who was the sinless man, who needed no salvation. I needed his salvation. I live my life to honor him. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? So they are seeing the pattern. And I told you, if you say, I want to be like Jesus, there are four gospels we have. Four gospels. Four synoptic accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew has 28 chapters. Mark has 16. Though some scholars believe that some of Mark's accounts were missing, but I really don't have a qualm with that. Then you have Luke, 24. And then you have John, 21. In all of the 28 chapters of Matthew, only two chapters did not tell you the ministry of Jesus. And the two chapters, that's first and second chapter, pointed to it. In Mark, from Mark 1 to Mark 16, everything was about the ministry of Jesus. Luke has 24 chapters. Only two chapters, just like Matthew, didn't deal with the ministry of Jesus, though it pointed to it. 22 chapters dedicated strictly to the ministry of Jesus. John has 21. The entire 21 chapters is about Jesus, who is the Son of God, yet is the servant of God. So, if you claim to want to be like Jesus, then you must serve like Jesus served. You can't claim to be want to be like Jesus and then you say, well, I'm going to be the richest man in my hometown. I'm going to be the wealthiest man in Nigeria. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a human desire. But that is not being like Jesus. I just showed you the account you have of Jesus. That is why even though he is the Son of God, he's called the servant. Matthew's Gospel 20, verse 28 and 29. He says, the Son of Man has not come to be served. But to give himself a ransom, pardon me, for many. He has not come to be served. In the kingdom of God, leadership is service. I think I pointed out to you that there are about 9 or so words used for leader in the Bible, and much of it was for Gentiles. What you have in scripture is service, servant. Minister. It's just like the word apostle. The word apostle is used either for an ambassador who serves on behalf of one, but most of the time it's used for an errand boy, a messenger. So you send for the daily jobs. These are not titles of earthly honor and glory and glamour. They are not titles of glamour at all. They are words that depict service. I see some young boys, they are apostle. Young guys, though, apostle. In 1994, I suppose, or 5, I got this set of folks born again, except one of them. So I taught them for a few weeks, so I had the cause to travel and preach elsewhere. So I came back. They're just new converts, so new born again, new creatures. Less than, I think they got saved around July, and I'm talking about August or September. So I came back and I saw them. They already picked up that newly born again, new creatures. The Evan B.
Prophet T,
Apostle J, new converts. So when I came out, who is Evan B? I just came out and called him an evangelist. The reason was, in the time I taught them ministry gifts. I mean, years ago. New converts. So I said, so if you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, what about me? You are all crazy. The beginning of your Christian life, you are getting a title. Eh? Or to Mama Jehovah, the body of Christ. The beginning of your Christian life is a title. Arochukwu 1. That's the beginning of your Christian life. Hallelujah. The son became a servant. That's what we learn. The diaconia. Matthew 20, 28 and 29. Nothing glamorous. Philippians 2. Paul says, he took on himself the form of a servant. Verse 7. Was made in the likeness of men. Made himself of no reputation. He was a servant. Nothing glamorous. Hallelujah. You cannot follow Jesus without serving Jesus. Service is discipleship, or the proof of it. You cannot. You can't. And so, hear this. When we are saying making disciples, that means we're training men to do what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're training men. We're learning to do what Jesus did. That's what we're learning. And look at the four Gospels, you know. Jesus, in teaching, he picks out 12 people, then 70 people, Luke's Gospel 9 and Luke's Gospel 10. What does he do to them? He sends them out by two, Luke's Gospel 10, one, Luke's Gospel 9, to go round and preach. Mark 6, 12 and 13, he sends them out to preach. How can you be a disciple of Jesus and you do not preach the gospel? You know, I told someone, I think I wrote it yesterday, I said, for God so loved the world that he gave us electricity. Is that what it says? For God so loved the world that he ensured that, you know, we're able to eat 3 square meals? No. For God so loved the world that he gave us what to wear? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish. John 3:16. But has everlasting life. So if you really love the world, what you will give to them by preaching the gospel is the gift of eternal life. You know, sometimes you hear Christians and the non-Christians have the same ideology. They say, well, you know, what is the high point of Christianity? Is it not if you have two clothes, your brother has one, your brother now is an unbeliever, give him one. Is that not it? Is it not sharing food to those who are hungry? Is it not equipping people who are not skillful businessmen so they become skillful entrepreneurs? Is that not Christianity? Then you leave church after hearing that sermon and you are taught in your heart, I must impact my world. I must. Let's stop playing church. Let's stop playing church. Let's do it. Let's go to the marketplace. Then you now attend a seminar. Maybe your organization takes you out to a seminar. Then somebody comes to speak and he says, you know, I'm not a religious person. I don't believe in any Jesus. I believe in humanity. The last 6 months, our organization has empowered 20,000 entrepreneurs with $1 million each. You say, wow. In fact, we just took a shipment of food to East Antigua and we gave them 400 million tons of food. That's it. We just say we should give back to humanity. You say, wow, my pastor and a small boy, we need this guy. This is my new pastor. Can you see where your ideas are warped? That's a warped idea. What the world needs is eternal life. Through the sacrifice of Jesus. No amount of Indomie noodles can give eternal life. No amount of good clothes. No amount of a good economy. No amount of entrepreneurship can grant eternal life. Where man is poor is in his heart. The poverty of man is beyond not having food to eat and clothes to wear. The poverty of man is to be without the Spirit of God. Can I have an amen here? That should be your motivation. Now, does it mean it's wrong to give to the poor? No. But set your priorities right. And rightly so. Praise the Lord. So you cannot have disciples without the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is what makes you disciples. What is the ministry of Jesus? The ministry of Jesus is that he preached, he taught, and he prayed concerning his preaching and teaching, and he healed the sick, so that men who believe his preaching and teaching. The ultimate reason why Jesus came to this world is so that we may have life, John 10:10. And that life is found in the spirit of man that has believed the gospel. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, this is what you ought to do. And I shared this with you, you know, a couple of weeks back. I was impressed on the Lord to share this amongst ministers and pastors, leaders and churches. You know, there are two places in the world today where you have some of the greatest conversions to the faith. And that's Iran and China. And in the two places, they have the stringent conditions for worship. In other words, in most of these places, they're not allowed to even gather and congregate. If you have to do it at all, you have to be certified by the government. Yet, they have millions of conversions without the internet. Without good architectural masterpieces. Without, you know, all the glamour that we pursue. How are they able to have millions born again in China? Believers took on the ministry of Jesus. And Iran and Iraq are preaching the gospel. And more nations are opening all over the world as believers take on the responsibility. They are not too busy, not to engage, not even not to engage with church work. You know, you can get so engaged with church work, and you are in every department in church, but when it's time to go for evangelism, you are not found. They are not too engaged in that. No internet, no Facebook Live. No website. We think that if I have all that, I will reach the world. No. You reach people you want to reach. To reach the world means across the road. The next street. The bus station. The bus stop. The bus parks. The marketplaces. Where people sell and buy. The thugs. The area boys. The prostitutes. That is what it means. Hallelujah. And this is Christianity. Being a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? This is Christianity. And so in John 20 and verse 21, peace be unto you, he says in 21. And in 22, he says, he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. As my Father sent me, earlier on, so send I you. As my Father sent me. John 20. As my Father sent me in verse 21, so send I you. What does it mean the Father sent me? John 15. And verse 26. And so, but when the Comforter is come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 14:26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said to you. As my Father sent me. We said the word allos parakletos is Christ coming to us in the Spirit. Even so send I you. In other words, Jesus tells us the purpose of the new birth or the another Comforter is to go into the world and testify of Jesus. John 20, 21. That's why it says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, you remit, are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, are retained unto them. So the eye point of the indwelling of the Spirit is to testify of Jesus. Why do you think? Listen, what is the essence of living right? Living right is not to earn favors with God. You're already righteous. You're made right by His Spirit. Why are you living right? You are living right because of the gospel that you preach. That's the essence. It's not to score a point with God. There's no point to score with God already. You have His Spirit already. If you have His Spirit, that's all He's going to ever give you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. When Jesus rose from the dead and came to dwell in our hearts, it's for this cause. That we should testify of Him in all the world. And so you cannot claim to understand and learn Christianity without this important element. Write this down if you're writing. You should. The Spirit of the Son is to serve. The Spirit of the Son is to serve. And so here we are. In Christianity, we begin to learn this. Jesus crucified, raised from the dead, now lives in us, now walks through us, now continues to do the things He did in the four Gospels through us. So the four Gospels have become for us a pattern. A pattern. How do we therefore have this life Spirit expressed? It is by training, discipleship, by learning it. We're going to hear it, we're going to read it, we're going to be told of it, and we're going to practice it. That's why it's very odd to get somebody saved by preaching to him or her, and then say, you know, from now henceforth, read your Bible every day. How is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? You have to take the patience the same way you train up a child. You get the child to walk. You help him or her to walk and talk, encourage. Tell him or her what to do, what not to do. That is how discipleship is done. You can be 60 years old. The moment you get born again, you are now a baby, spiritually speaking. Figuratively speaking. You have to now be trained. Even though you have been a Christian in all your life. So people have been in church all their lives. They know all the hymns, hymnals, hymn books, but they are not born again. The moment you receive eternal life, the training starts. And in that training, you are tutored just like a child. Just like a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. Breakfast there refers to the spiritual infanthood of Timothy. Then he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, which refers to instruction, teaching and all that. And he says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The last word, for instruction in righteousness, padiae. Two words, child training. That means spiritual growth is like child training. Hebrews 12 and 5. Remember the exhortation. As the Father speaks to the Son. I told you before. The book of Proverbs. Where you find my son. Pay attention to my words. Book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs shows us. Parables of spiritual growth. Instructions. Father, Son. Father, Son. It's not for righteousness. Because you're already made right by the birth. It's not for acceptance. You're already born. But it's for growth. You hear what I'm about to say? So as we learn the word. And the gospel. We also learn the information of the gospel. And then the instructions in the gospel. There are instructions in the gospel. It's not good enough to love. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I have been lost paracletos. I'm born again. Oh, Jesus never said goodbye. He lives in me today. Wonderful instructions. Information. Then what are the instructions? Teaching them to observe all things so ever that I have commanded you. Matthew 20:20. Things soever I have commanded you. He gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Acts 1:2. So a crucial part of discipleship is instructions. Instructions unto righteousness. Instructions. A part of it is also rebuke. Rebuke. Rebuke means to warn, to caution, and to scold. To warn, to caution, and to scold. 2 Timothy 3. Showed you that. 15. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, you are able to make you wise. All salvation through faith that is found in Jesus Christ. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction to righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, prepared unto every good work. Chapter 4, verse 1, the next statement. I give you charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, verse 2. Be instant in season and out of season. He says, reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, patience and doctrine. For the time will come, verse 3, when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. He's talking to believers. Sound doctrine has information. Sound doctrine has rebuke and correction. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will have itching ears, he says. Hip-hop teachers after their own lust. They will turn away from the truth unto fables. Hallelujah. Itching ears. What you want to hear. You don't come to church for what you want to hear. Just like you don't go to school for what you want to hear. You go to school to be trained.
I can't feel the preacher. I can't feel him in church. I couldn't connect.
So you came prepared to hear certain things. Sorry, the church will disappoint you. You hear the word of God. You hear the Holy Ghost. May you not hear yourself in the churches. You hear God's word. Hallelujah. They preach the word. Be instant in season and also out of season. Glory to God. Are you following? So which means, in the training of the Spirit of God, which is discipleship, you do not dictate what is done. You hear God's word. You study it. You practice it. Hallelujah. And you see, where this is done is in the assembly of saints. The assembly of saints. Because God always uses men. Listen to what I'm about to say. In the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, the gospel was announced by men. Through the Old Testament. There was nowhere the gospel was announced in the clouds. It was by men. Luke 24, 25, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, 44, these are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Here, so God spoke through men to us in the Old Testament. God became a man for us in the four Gospels. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld His glory. So the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, no one had seen God at any time, but the only begotten which is the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. And again, when He rose from the dead, and He wants the world to believe, He takes men again. And sends those men into all the world. Matthew 28:19. Go into all nations. Make disciples. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations. Beginning among nations. Beginning at Jerusalem. 48. You are witness unto these things. John 20:21. As my Father sent me, even so sent I you. He breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 23. Whatsoever sins you remit, I remit unto them. Whatsoever sins you retain, I retain unto them. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Therefore, spiritual growth is only possible when you receive from such men. Just like salvation was received because you heard men talk about Jesus, spiritual growth is ministered the same way. And so that's why we have the local assemblies, the churches, where people come together just like this morning. Why are we here? We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to feel good, even though we could feel good. We're not here to just have a great time, even though we can have great times. We're here to be discipled for Jesus. And Jesus does it through men. You and I, just like this morning, is going to rebuke you through men. Is going to teach you through men. Is going to train you through men. Is going to exhort you through men. Is going to teach you, instruct you through men. This is the reason for the gathering of saints. I love what the man said, Paul Washer. He said, don't go to the church nearest to you. Go to the church nearest to the Bible. What an important statement. Charles H. Spurgeon, Haddon Spurgeon, 20th century, 19th century spiritual teacher, says this. He says, don't go to where there's a magnificent architecture, where there's grand music and grand piano. He said, go to where the gospel, the New Testament is preached, and go there often. That's the idea. Don't go to a church closest. Some of us get the best of schools. How many of you attended the school near your house? No, I don't stress myself. God is everywhere. Schools are everywhere. Some of us even change location. They take you to somewhere. You say, no, I can't stay here. Say, why? No, I can't stay. I can't live in this kind of place. Never. Then you go to a comfortable place. Maybe you had 1 million in your account to pay for the place. And they say the place is 2 million. Can I have 1 week? And you raise the money and you pay for it. They give you a job. They say the job is just the next street. How much are they going to pay? It's very comfortable. They say 50,000 naira per month. But that was after 6 months of probation. And you are a 15, post graduation of 15 years. Say, Say, no, you can come when you like. For what? Someone says, we have a job for you in Port Harcourt. 1 million per week. Just go and meet Pastor. Pastor, I've been praying about the gospel getting to Niger Delta. So you know the importance. Distance doesn't matter. I remember, you know, I used to be in Ibadan, so I used to attend a church in Ibadan. So I moved to Lagos. And I didn't get a church in Lagos until about a year. I used to go back to Ibadan twice or three times a week for church service. So I said, is that no extreme? What is extreme about that? Is it not church? Is it not church? I mean, churches now. I said, no. Hallelujah. That's why we come here. So that spiritual growth might be ministered unto us to the extent that we receive the word of God. Hallelujah. So in this series, I'm going to teach you this week and next week. I want to look at an instruction Paul gave in Colossians 4. I'm just about to start this series. Hallelujah. I only gave you a background. Amen. Where he says, say to Archippus, Colossians 4:17. I'm going to expound on that more in the second service. Say unto Archippus. Now, Paul had different churches that he planted, and he had oversight over it. And we're going to explore the different challenges he had in each of them. You know, today when I hear people talk about the church is getting worldly, things are changing in the church, and I take time, particularly when I'm teaching in maybe Bible schools or among ministers, I'll have to share with those who are Bible schools, that there's nothing strange happening today that is not in, that was not in the same churches that you read the epistles. If things were always fine, why was Paul writing letters? Just one word will have gone. Hey guys, heard good stuff about you. Keep it up. Bye. So we have those letters so that we can explore them and also make changes where we see instructions that are directed to people but applicable today. I'm going to run through a particular church, Corinth. Now put your Bibles down. Let me just say something very quickly. You see, just listen. This era of information. Someone was telling me that Google is so important now that we can Google virtually everything and get it. If you are 20 anywhere, just Google it, you get it. I said, Google also has a lot of evil things. You can Google backsliding and you Google yourself away in the world. You can Google yourself to unbelief. God is not the one who is using Google. It's man that uses Google.
God uses his word. Can I have an amen? Did you hear what I just said?
Aha. You want to know about prayer? You now Google prayer. You will pray. You will say no prayer there. You want to know about demons? You now Google demons. Different demons will now appear to you at once. Take your Bible. Hallelujah. And find out that what God has done. Listen to what I'm about to say. Don't write yet. What God has done is to provide for us the assemblies of saints, believers. So we're in this age where, you know, the world are so interconnected. At the snap of a finger, you can be in different parts of the world and hear many contradicting things at the same time. And therein lies the dilemma for many of us. Somebody was asking me, have you heard this person? I said, I don't hear every person. There was a time as a younger Christian, I would stay at Ilupeju. It's not like that town planning way. There used to be a place where they would post a lot of posters there. How many of you know that period? It would be posters just before you get Tabani Way from Anthony. Before you turn in, no, that's the Ilupeju. As you turn into that LSDPC, there's that place, they have flat posters. I'll now go there to look for which program to attend. Okay, this Friday, this one on Saturday. It's on Saturday. And I had one of the most horrible experiences as a Christian. That's not how to live the Christian life. And this was the challenge, now begin right. What Paul faced at Corinth, from the first chapter till the 15th chapter, Paul was talking about division. There was no letter that Paul wrote that had so many issues at the same time in one church like Corinth. And you know the reason for it? The reason for it, we have a series on this, was multiple influences. And that already is the beginning of distraction. Multiple influences. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you in church? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak your mind. Are you there? That you all speak your mind. Express yourself. What does he say? Speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you. That you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Hallelujah. And in the same sense of judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. I told you, virtually every chapter, till the 16th chapter, Paul had to deal with diverse opinions. Chapter 1, 2 to 2, 2 to 3, chapter 4, they were judging Paul and Apollos. Chapter 5, the brother who had his father's wife. Some were his friends, some were not his friends. Chapter 6, believers were going to court, taking themselves to unbelievers. Some didn't like it, some did. Chapter 7, marriage, diverse opinions. Chapter 8, food offered unto idols. Some were eating, some were not eating. Different opinions. Chapter 9, a starting giving to ministers. Chapter 10, food offered to idols. Even though it's agreed that chapter 10 is another letter entirely. But then let's put it together. Chapter 11, the issue of women, what to wear, what not to wear, how to submit to their husband, the influence of the community, and all of that. Chapter 11 again, the sharing of food, and walking in love amongst believers. Chapter 12, 13, 14, it got even to the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 15, some were saying, there is no resurrection. In the same place. The local church is not where we have different opinions. I tell people, the local church is where we all believe the same thing. Because we ought to be feeding on the same thing.
Well, people write me and tell me, sir, in the church I am, my pastor doesn't do this. I say, look, I'm not a church instructor. If you believe, you don't believe the same things anymore. Pray over it and ask God what he wants you to do. But do not cause strife in the church. The essence for the local assembly is unity of purpose, unity of judgment. So Corinth was facing multiple influences. Look at the thing he says. I want you to have the same judgment. And there be no, the same, there's the word autos. That is, the same way you think is the way I think. In other words, the local church is such that if somebody should call, what's your name, brother? What's your name? Jesus. Brother? Brother Micah. Prophet Micah. If someone should call Brother Micah and say, what do you think about praying this way? If he responds to him, feels, let me have a diverse opinion. Then he calls, what's your name, sir? Michael. Ah. Angel Michael. He calls Brother Michael. What is it? He says the same thing. Ah, what's that? What are you thinking alike? And he goes to Brother Gage. He says, so let me just say, I spoke to him about prayer. What do you think? He says, the same thing. He says, ah, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. You're all brainwashed. No, you are the one that is brainwashed. Hallelujah. Same judgment. Hallelujah. Same judgment. Same speech. He said the same thing to Philippi. Philippians 2 verse 1 to 3. Same judgment. That there be no divisions. Watch this. The word division is the word schema. S-C-H-I-S-M-A in the Greek. Hear what I'm about to say. In the entire New Testament Greek, that is from Matthew to Revelation, this word division, schema, is used 8 times. Only in Corinth, 3 times. And in the entire epistles, that word division only happens in Corinth. How many of you have listened to the series Matters in Corinth? What year was that? 2013 or so? Or 12? 2012? Or 13? Matters in Corinth. The key problem in Corinth was that they were listening to different people. And so it produced different opinions on different issues. You find that was schema used in Matthew 9, Matthew 9, 16, Mark 2, 21, or is it Matthew 19? I think it's 19. Just for your study. Matthew 9, 16, I'm right. Mark 2, 21, John 7, 43. John 9:16 and John 10:19. Hear me again. Matthew 9:16, Mark 2:21, John 7:43, John 9:16, John 10:19. He says, and only in Corinth, that's the only place in the epistles that the word occurs 3 times. 1 Corinthians 11:18 and 1 Corinthians 12:25. Then he says in verse 11, it had been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of God, that there are contentions among you. The word contentions is the Greek word eris, E-R-I-S. Again, listen to this. The word eris has 9 renderings in New Testament Greek. 9 and a third of it in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. A third. 1 Corinthians 3:3, 2 Corinthians 12:20. Elsewhere, you will find it in Romans 1:29 as a work of sin. Romans 13:13 as a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:20 as a work of the flesh. Philippians 1:15 as why some preach the gospel. 1 Timothy 6:4, things that Paul told Timothy to avoid. And Titus 3:9. I'll go over that again. Romans 1:29 as a work of sin. Romans 13:13, the work of the flesh. Galatians 5:20, work of the flesh. Philippians 1:15, how some preach the gospel. You know, I've told you before. They are reactionary preaching.
where you are preaching because you are reacting to what somebody said, oftentimes it doesn't bless anybody. You won't find me come here to be reacting to any preacher. I don't have that kind of time. No room for that. So you won't find us teaching things on our pulpit that is trending. No. That's a preacher you should be afraid of. Didn't you have something you were teaching before the trend? That is a Twitter man of God. So don't react. At all. Even here. There was a time like that. Some folks, you know, they left this church and they were, you know, writing things and doing funny things. So they kept coming for service thinking I was going to say something about it. I've not said anything till today. They came. If I remember one of the retreats that we had. So I said, wait for an important announcement. Everybody was tense. Thinking I was going to talk about it. I got there. I said, Samaya's mom is open. Who remembers that meeting? They were disappointed. And I walked away. Hallelujah. I've got too much rank for that. Too much rank for that. Nah. Let's teach the word of God. Why would I come and offend you, hit you about what doesn't concern you? If somebody is fighting me, he's not fighting you now. So I'll teach you what you need to hear. Is that very clear? So that you won't bring your personal problems to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, Paul is saying here that Timothy should avoid that. But let's get to the real issues here. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1, he says there are contentions. The word heiress. I remember a friend of mine used to abuse me. He says, you're a man of God. I said, yeah. I was in university then. He said, you went to school to study contention. How can you say you are walking the spirit? I said, but you went to study the human body. Because the works of God are supposed to be past finding out. You have refused to call Jesus the healer. He said, no, his own is restorative. My own is fighting. Don't mind him. Ignorant boy. Anyway, he says, there are contentions among you. What is he talking about? Now, let us read verse 12 together. Let's go. Now this I say, that every one of you say, let's go. 1 Corinthians 1, so let's go. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. She says, Paul is Christ divided. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. Look at the problem. I am of Paul. Now, some folks have just read that place. And they felt, don't be of anybody. But something you didn't see is that they also included Jesus. What a warp thinking. In the same assembly, you had Pauline guys, Cephasine guys, Apolline guys, then Christocentric. In the same place. So there's sometimes say, lift your hands, glory. The Apolline guys have said, lift your hands, figurative. So they just go, blah, 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 blah. This Christocentric guys just say, okay, I think I agree with that. In the same place, though. Then the Cephasine guys will say, well, it's our leg that you lift. We'll say, let's pray in tongues. Ah, the Apolline guys will say, is this all the time? The Apolline guys say, I thank my God, you know. And the Cephasine guys say, no, I've said Apolline. Eh? The Christocentric guys just say, it's all about Christ. It's not about tongue. In the same place. So, in a year, you can have 40 Christocentric, 30 Paul, 20 Apolline, 20 Cephasine. Then there will be shifting of camps. Gradually. Paul warns about that. Now people have stopped there. Say, no, don't say I'm a Paul. No, keep reading it. You know, it's only the Bible that we read that way. Even in novels, when you see such a thing, you want to get to the end. Right?
And you heard, oh, and so Juliana took the knife and ran out of the house. The question is, where did she go? You want to read the next chapter. Where is the Bible? Juliana took the knife.
May you take your knife.
Any book you read in the world, you want to keep reading till the end. Or your school books. You read chapter 1. Say, wow. Wow, see inside. There are 28 chapters. Oh my God. And particularly when you have not read or gone to class, say, Lord, what is going to come out? Then you look for Rema. If you keep reading, you will see how Paul debunked that thinking. He did. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. Are you learning something? Be ye. Let's take it together. Verse 1. Are you there? Let's go. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also. Can you see what he said eventually? He uses the word mimetes. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Or M-I-M-E-T-O-S. A word he uses for God just once. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye followers of God as their children. Imitate. Elsewhere, he uses this for men. For men. 1 Corinthians 4:16. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Can we take it together? Let's start from 14. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Let's go. I'm waiting for you. Everybody, let's go. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of us. Of us? Of me. Mimetes. As I follow Christ. As I follow Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Because he told them in 13, they received it not as the word of men, but it is in truth, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Be ye followers of us. Chapter 2 verse 14. Let's say 14 together. 2:14. Let's go. For you brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So, the local church is where this discipleship goes on by following men. So, Corinth had this challenge. Challenge. Oh, they are hearing from multiple sources. Without trying to boast. And without trying to, in all humility. I believe here in Saints Community Church, we provide by God's Spirit all that is sufficient for your spiritual growth. Because I made a vow years ago that wherever and whoever I pastor, just like Paul, I will say, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I made that vow 24 years ago. So, it therefore becomes strange. You're well fed. You're taught. Well taught. But some people are just curious people. Very curious. Extremely curious. And Paul says here, he says, you are followers of the churches. You are followers of us. We have taught you. House to house, Acts 20 and 20, and publicly. Kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. There are things that we taught 10 years ago. So some of you are just hearing again and say, wow, I didn't know this was what I heard. I taught in Zambia last year. We have this camp meeting I hold for them. So a brother wrote it on Facebook yesterday. He said he was there. He went back to hear it again and found out, is this the meeting I attended? That he thought he knew everything. That is how it works. That's how it works. You don't just listen, you now begin to follow. Sometimes in following, you now begin to re-listen to things you thought you had heard. And understand, that is the reason for the local church. It's not touch and go. That excitement stage is the initial stage. Wow! Hey! See Bible. Wow! Hey! Holy fire! You have not yet understood anything. When you understand, you are not going to raise a voice. You will not be thinking. You go back home. You search it. You pray over it. Then you are now following. Hallelujah. Someone told me, I came to your church. He said, as I was hearing the word, I wanted to jump. But I found out that I would look strange. And I said, hey, hey! There's some nights when I'm teaching and somebody says, hey! Some of you look around. The person just came. Oh! Remember Pastor Lan? Oh, he's not here. That would be backbiting. In the first meetings I used to hold and he was there, that was 2003 and 4. He would, anything, he would just say, mm. So I said, young man, what's wrong with your throat? He said, sorry, sir. So, mm. I said, ah, why are you always mm, in the service? So, mm. Hallelujah. Boy, I learned, you know, no, pastor is not trying to excite you. I want you to go home and pick your Bible and begin to practice this word. This truth, pardon me. The word. That's it. So you have, yes, back at the current now. You have multiple influences. Multiple. Hebrews 6 and 12 also add that. So he says to them in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Hope you are learning something. What is going to cure Corinth's problem? Follow me. Someone asked me, he said, sir, do you have a series on Trinity? I said, I don't teach Trinity. He said, do you believe in Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? I said, if you have ever heard me, you hear those three things consistently in my teaching. But that's Trinity. Trinity is not in the Bible. But do you believe in Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. If you follow me, you won't ask that kind of question. The reason why you ask that question is you are hearing other things. Hallelujah. See the number of things we have taught on the Holy Ghost. Which one are you looking for? That is not there. You don't go to church also to hear something to go and argue. Someone came to me and said, sir, can I quickly ask, somebody is asking me a question. I don't know what I can tell him. I said, tell him you don't know. Say, sir, ma, say, I don't know. Because that is your present state. If you knew it, you won't call me. What do you think I am? Side chick pastor? Don't quote me. Follow me as I follow Christ. He uses the word cargo kai. Cargo is also. Kai is that is Christ. That is when you follow me, you're following Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. So all letters, I'll close here. All letters were written to a local church. Let me say this quickly. Do you know there is no single epistle that was not written to a church? An assembly of saints. Romans, for the church in Rome. 1 and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth. Galatians, for the church at Galatia. Ephesians, for the church in Ephesus.
Now, Ephesians is the only one I may have to add something to. It is believed that the church in Ephesus was a letter that was a general letter. I'll come to it shortly. Philippians, church of Philippi. Colossians, church of Colossae. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All the letters. Philemon was written to Philemon, who was in Colossae. And the church pastor was mentioned, Epaphras. Or a leader, a servant there. Whether it's 1st and 2nd Timothy or Titus. Hebrews was to a church. Hebrews 13:17 shows you that. James was to a church. Elders of the church. James 5:14. 1st Peter and 2nd Peter. 1st Peter 5. The elders amongst you. 2nd Peter 2:1. The apostles, prophets also amongst you. It's a church. 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John. To the elder, the elect. 3rd John, Gaius, in the church. The book of Jude, to the churches. The book of Revelation, 7 letters to 7 churches through the servants of God over the churches. So the local church is God's idea. That is where spiritual growth takes place. I said Ephesians is the one that stands out because it's like a general letter read by all. But over time, Ephesus just adopted it. I'll show you something later. So in every letter Paul wrote, there were instructions, corrections, rebuke. That's how we grow. So I want to ask you, do you have the Corinthian problem? Where your mind is not in one place? Do you have that Corinthian problem? Where you have multiple sources of influence? Sometimes that influence can be right here. Somebody is not a pastor, is not put over the church, and is the one instructing you. Is the one telling you which prayer group not to attend. Is the one telling you what to do. Is the one giving you counsel. That's not biblical. When it comes to instructions and counsel, it comes from those that God has set over us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, Hebrews 13, 17. Believers are going to be accounted of by those who are over them in the Lord. That's a fact of scripture. I'm going to show you much of that in the second service. So in the local church is where we understand protocol. We understand how things are done. Are you the Corinthian person here? Multiple influences. That is why you don't find us have association of businessmen, married women, market women, business. We will never have things like that. That in its own is division. We don't classify people here based on social status, material status. It is classification at all, just like the Bible, is based on spiritual responsibilities. If you're a mother here, we don't call you Mama Shegun. We call you sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. We don't call somebody doctor so-and-so. You are brother so-and-so, who is a doctor? People come here, they think everybody here, they are teenagers. I laugh. Because they think, because we don't bear titles. Somebody came to church one time and saw me and said, I want to see Pastor Chris Onaika. That's what I was talking. So what do you want to say? I don't want to see any appendage or associates. Please, what I came for is social. I want to see him directly. I said, go inside. So he, that was 1978. So he got inside and I said, Pastor, he's outside. He said, where? Not pointing. So he now came gently. Gently. He said, sorry, sir. You are Pastor Chris. He said, my name is Chris. Sorry, I didn't know it was you. I said, I'm not really interested in seeing you. You were so rude. What did you want to see? That when I step out, baga. That when you mention my name, the heavens will shake. We are believers here. Does this look like Kerubim and Seraphim? I'm not the church now, I mean angels. So don't misquote me. You don't be out. Say, say, brother, sister, pastor. Every other thing. When you leave this place, call people. Say, professor. Yeah, professor. When you get here, you're a brother. In Christ. Sister. How can he hold me? Look at that small girl calling me brother. What are you? Grandmother? Are you not brother? I'm not a brother anymore in Christ. I'm a managing director in Christ. You're foolish. What an honor to be called a brother. What an honor to be called a sister. Brotherhood with Jesus. Hebrews 2:11, it says, he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. John 20:17. Go to my brethren and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That is what we mean when we call you brother. That is what we mean when we call you sister. We identify that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We identify that we're in the same family with Jesus. Hallelujah. You blessed this morning? Lift your hands and bless God. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Thank you.